Okay, there's a couple things while we're talking about Leviticus chapter 23 that I want to make you aware of. These seven feasts that I've been mentioning, that we sometimes refer to as Jewish feasts, are actually called the divine appointments of the Lord, or the appointed times. And it's literally like God has said, this is the time that I have set for these events to happen. And what happens is, as Israel tracks out of Egypt, these specific events will then set the date for how, which day is going to be celebrated when. Later on, Jesus will celebrate Passover on Passover. He will die on Passover. He will pour out the Spirit on Pentecost. And God will follow this pattern. It is important to get a hold of that for another reason. You will never understand the book of Revelation if you do not understand Egypt. What we are about to read tonight, the judgments that are coming upon the planet, are a mirror image of what God did in Egypt with Moses and Aaron standing in the court of Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." It's the exact same thing. When God sent Moses and Aaron to Egypt, He did not suddenly just indiscriminately decide what terrible plague to bring upon the people. He specifically chose things that Egypt had identified as being a god, something that was idolatrous in the mindset of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron would go in before Pharaoh and say that you might know there is one God and He is in the midst of Israel. And then the judgment would come. Now remember that. That picture is going to become very pronounced as we get a little further into the book of Revelation. This is a pattern that I simply cannot overstress. And I want to show you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 because Paul specifically tells us that this is the way it is. We won't take time to read the whole chapter, but we really should. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, speaking about the children of Israel, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Let me give you another translation that I like better. Upon whom these things shall fall at the end of the age. Egypt was the lesson. The fulfillment is coming. And God said, these things that have happened for a future generation's benefit so that they will understand what is going on and why these things are happening. To illustrate that, just one more powerful point before we move on. What I'm saying to you is, Egypt is the historical representation of this period we are calling the tribulation. The Hebrew word for Egypt is Mitzrayim. And the definition of Mitzrayim is tribulation. Do you see the picture? It's a pattern. What happened to them happens to a future generation. What God did for them becomes that which strengthens us for what's coming. Okay? So let's go on and let's get into that in chapter 8. Oh. By the way, speaking of appointed times, I want you to notice that my wrist is bare. I must have really gotten wound up last night because, honest to goodness, I broke my watch. And I didn't intend to. So if I can just somehow put a curse on that one, I don't have to pay attention to it. Chapter 8. All right, we've come to the end of the six seals, chapter 8. Now we come to the opening of the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Just make note of, you don't have to turn there, I'll go to it for you, Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7. Be silent before the Lord, before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. A lot of people have speculated why in the midst of heaven, which you will find very few places, if other than this in the book of Revelation or even in Scripture where there is silence in heaven. Heaven is a very noisy place. There's worship and praise and all sorts of declarations being made. But now we have come to the most ominous moment in history. And I think it is so incredible and so holy and so intense that everybody knows, be still before the Lord. The day of the Lord is about to happen. Be silent. And there is no commentary. There's no talking. There's no worship. There's nothing. Silence in heaven. I think that is intended to show us how intense this is. I think it's also important to remind you that in the Passover celebration, there is a part where we come to the cup of instruction and we take our finger and we put it in the juice or the wine and we take 10 drops out, one for each of the 10 plagues. And the reason we do that is that we are, by lifting some of the wine out of the out of the cup, we are diminishing the joy of the cup. Why do we do that? Because God takes no pleasure in judging sinners. Folks, God does not want any to perish, but all to come to eternal life. There's no cause for celebration, even in heaven, over the day of the Lord. It is so serious. Let all of heaven be silent before the sovereign Lord, before the day of the Lord is at hand. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So now we're going to transition. The seventh seal is actually begins another series of seven, and that series of seven is seven trumpet judgments. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Again, another replay of something we've already seen. Korah and Dathan rise up in revolt against Moses in the wilderness. And Moses summons the elders of Israel, and Korah and Dathan in Numbers chapter 16 say, "We're not going. We're tired of you lording it over us. We're elders in Israel too. We're not coming." Moses says, fine. He walks out of the tent of meeting and tells people, move away from the tents of Korah and Dathan. We'll let God decide this one. God comes down, opens the ground, swallows them up, kills their families. And you would think that the smart thing would be to figure out, well, it looks like he chose Moses. You know? But the Israelites, God love them, didn't quite get it. And they got mad because they liked Korah and Dathan. And what do? They begin to converge on the tent of meeting and the tabernacle in an aggressive manner. And Aaron and Moses go in and fall down before the Lord. And finally,